yesterday, we described the term Chaburo Lashem Shamayim, which was the Alei Shor's way of recognizing what Yeshiva is about. And he quoted the Rambam in the Mishnayos Kiddushin, who writes that the basis of a Chaburo Lashem Shamayim, because that term, the Chaburo Lashem Shamayim, is the Rambam term. The Rambam term then. And he says the definition of it is one that's based on Nachas and Musa. And then he goes on and carries on like this, and he says, there are different ways of speaking, and we gave a couple of examples yesterday already to get background to this. But there's a way of speaking which is a way of tzchok, a way of ridiculing, a way of cast, with a hint of anger in the way that's being spoken. And that type of speech isn't received by the person. It doesn't build a relationship. But when a person speaks with nachas, there they've already set up the ability to speak in a way that will build a relationship. But even that's not enough, because you may be speaking pleasantly, but what exactly are you saying? So the second condition that the Rambam gives is the direction of your speech self-centered, or is it growth-oriented? He said many people, even if they speak calmly and sweetly, there's no anger, there's no ridiculing, but what they're saying emanates from the fact that they believe they're the center. And where this expresses itself in yeshiva is there are some people who in yeshiva, in order to feel special, will say things to prove how good they are. And you can understand why they would do that. Because in yeshiva, externally, everyone's doing the same thing. The schedule is the same for everybody. The time is the same. What you're learning is the same. And a person has an innate need to feel special, to feel unique. How is he going to feel unique? What's he going to do to feel unique? So there could be a tendency for a person to show off and say, you know, I'm unique, and then he'll show how, in comparison to his friends, he has a one-upmanship in some area, based on some background that he has, or some position that he has, or some learning he has, or some insight that he has, or something that he wants to show off, how he's unique or special in some way. And that might be benachas, right? It might be that he's saying it sweetly and pleasantly. I say, you have the first condition, but it's based in arrogance. It's based in, and arrogance is a harsh word, right? He has a real need. People have a real need to feel unique and special. You have a need, but that need doesn't have to come out in a way of making yourself stand out. That's one. On the other side is phrases of yeush. Phrases of feeling, I can't achieve, I can't accomplish, I'm not going to be able to be successful. That's another way of speaking which also breaks relationships and pulls people down. And again, that might be said in a pleasant way. Benachas, the person says, I just can't do this. This is too much for me. They can blame the weather. It's too hot. It's too cold. They can blame the chavrusa. They can blame the Rebbe. They can blame the smell from the kibbutz. There's lots of things people can blame. But essentially, the phrase is yeush. Oh, this is so much, it's overwhelming, it's too much. Who could even do this? And no one can do this. Then they start generalizing. It's impossible for everyone. And although they're saying it benachas, but it's a type of a phrase that is not building. Not building them, and as part of a chabura, it's putting the chabura down. The phrase is making other people also feel like, yeah, what are we going to do? In that second category also is one which would have hints of criticism. All those emanate from a person wanting to feel special amongst the chevra, but instead of him being special by building the chevra, he's trying to feel special by pushing the chevra down. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter would always say that a person has two ways of feeling special. One way is for him to accomplish and then raise himself up, and one way is for him to push other people down, where he also feels special, but not because he's grown, but just because he's put other people into the ditch, and that's how he gets to feel special. There's a great need to feel special. That need to feel special could be expressed by you advancing yourself, not to show off to other people why you're special and prove it in words, but rather take action. Learn something unique, learn something special, learn more, or do more acts of kindness, do more acts of chesed in a special, unique way. It will make you feel I'm doing something unique, without it needing to be at the expense of someone else. Because they're trying to build here a chevra, a chabur, l'shem shamayim. That's what the second category is musa. And the first condition was nachas, and the second is musa. This is the words of the Rambam. A person has to always ensure that his words are said pleasantly, but also they're al derech ha-musar. They're not knocking anyone else down. They're not coming from a place of arrogance. And when a person has those two conditions, number one, that he's saying things calmly and pleasantly. Number two, that he's saying things which are building, but they're not coming from arrogance or yeyush. Then he knows that he's involved is in a chevra, a chabura, which is building, a growing chevra. It's essential that we find ourselves in a place of Torah, that we're very careful as a basis that we have derech eretz. Maso matno benachasim abrios. That's one of the conditions that we have in order to build this chabura. He quotes the well-known Gemara of the 12,000 chavrusas of Rabbi Akiva. It's interesting, it doesn't say 24,000 talmidim. It says 12,000 chavrusas. That's how it says the Gemara. Yud beis elef zugin talmidim. Why doesn't it say 24,000 talmidim? Why does it have to say it in that way? Because they were already forming a chabura. They were working on the chabura. They already viewed themselves as chavrusa, 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 chavrusa. But even though they were trying to work on it, it still didn't work because they were not noheg kavod zeh bezeh. And they weren't totally separate. They weren't everyone to themselves. They were working on it. They were forming chavrusas, trying to work on a chavrusa. But even within the chavrusa, they weren't speaking in a respectful manner. They weren't relating to their chavrusa with honor, with kavod. And that's what knocked them down. They're very mavhilim. Even though they were at such a high level, and they were forming a chabura, but if you form a chabura in the wrong way, it can be tragic what the results are. He concludes by quoting a midrash from Shir Shirim Rabbah. It's the same midrash we quoted earlier, it's the continuation. What does the pasuk mean when it says in Shir Shirim, Chaverim Makshivim, friends listening to each other? What does that pasuk mean? What's it referring to? So I'm going to freely translate here. When Am Yisrael sit together in shul, and they say Shema, and they try and align their saying of Shema, they're saying it all together. Not that one's earlier, one's later, one's louder, one's softer. They try and align their davening, their Deya V'Tam Achas. And Kodesh Baruch Hu looks from Shemayim, and he sees them acting as Chaverim. And Hashem says that me and my Palmalia Shali, my host, I don't think I can translate Palmalia, but my host of angels, who are all looking down, are listening to your voice. Call out, Hashmi'eini. Hashem and the angels are listening to Am Yisrael when they call out as a chabur, as a unit, as a group of people learning together. However, when they all say Shema their own time, this one earlier, this one later, this one louder, this one softer, they don't feel themselves as one group calling out the Kodesh Baruch Hu together. And the Ruach HaKodesh calls out and says, Barach Dodi, my beloved has run away. Because the way that Hashem relates to Am Yisrael is not as separate individuals. Hashem relates to us when we're related to each other well. Exactly like a father and kids. A father for sure tries to have a unique relationship with each child. But the greatest nachas that a parent has is when he sees how his children are relating well to one another. When he sees, and the hardest challenge for a parent is when his kids are fighting. Not fighting, you know, like as young kids, or like rough and tumble. That doesn't bother the parents so much. The nachas shama would happen that the kids don't get along when they're older and they don't speak to each other, and the parents speak to the one child then separately to the other child, and he knows that they don't connect to each other. That is one of the most painful situations that parents have. I don't even know what's more painful. Having a child who's not following the path of Torah but kids still get on well, is that easier or harder than, or all the kids are all from but they don't speak to each other? I don't know. I don't want to judge that. But I dare to say that there is room for a child who hasn't found the Baal Torah, but there's still a very good relationship amongst the children, and everyone respects each other and gets on well. I could see that there would be a parent who would even prefer, or not prefer, relatively happier with that family situation than all the kids are from, but there's anger and animosity and hostility between one group of the children, between one child and one family and another family. And Kodesh Baruch will act that way as well. Because this Baruch Hu wants a unique relationship with each child. Because this Baruch Hu is able to relate to us well when he sees that all of his children are getting on well together. He's willing to sit in the room and relate to us as a family when he sees that we're relating well to one another. So Ali Shah quotes this midrash, and he says, the Shekhinah dwells when we are chaverim. When we as a group in yeshiva are relating to each other with kavod zeh bezeh. And the way that we speak, we're careful not to put someone else down. Though yes, we have room for our own unique expression, but it doesn't have to come by making other people depressed, by saying how depressed you feel, or by trying to raise yourself up by showing how you're better than other people, you have more whatever than someone else. When there's a kavod, when there's a way of respect, when you're learning in a chavrusa, and you have a svara, and you know that your chavrusa has a different svara, there are two ways of approaching it. There's a way of mutual respect, where you totally hear out your chavrusa, you get the chance to say your chavrusa, and then you together as a unit, think through which one fits in better into the world, which svara makes more sense. But it's not about ego. It's not about, I'll prove to you my svara is right, and I'm not even willing really to listen. Oh, you know what I'll do? I'll do you a favor. I'll pause and kind of roll my eyes until you finish saying what you have to say, just to give you the chance to say your svara. But then, okay, can we go back to what I was saying, like what the Gemara said? The Gemara said, and not what you wanted to share, what the Gemara said. Right, well there, that's no cover. It's offensive. I'll give you the space because I don't want you to be offended and then we're going to have to deal with your emotions. But really, can we go back to the truth of what's going on here? That's offensive. That's not kavod zebazim. That's not giving Hashem nachas. But what's giving Hashem nachas is when we truly listen. Now, you can truly listen and disagree, that's fine. You can disagree and show why this doesn't fit into the word, that's fine. But it doesn't have to be about the ego. It doesn't have to be about why your chavruz doesn't know what he's talking about. You can, in an honorable way, in a respectful way, say, the svara, what you're saying is sound, right? I hear that svara, but how does that fit into the words? And then you give him the chance to see if it's good, and he'll say, oh, you know, you're right, it doesn't fit into it. Or he won't. He'll say, okay, I hear your svara, but to me it doesn't read well to that particular word over there. And you can show him. You don't have to agree with him because he won't feel offended. You can show him clearly how it doesn't fit in. But it doesn't have to be at the expense of his ego. It doesn't have to be why you're proving why you're right. You can tell by the pitch often, by the pitch of how they're learning. You can tell whether it's ego-centered or it's MS-centered. Sometimes you can be loud. You can be loud, but you can see that you're looking for truth. Sometimes you can be loud, and it's a cancelling loud. You know the cancelling loud? It's just cancelling out what the other person's saying because you don't feel they have the room. What the Alishur is guiding us towards, what the Rambam is guiding us towards, is to create a chabur and a shem shamayim. And what he was showing is that's not only in learning, it's also in davening. In davening as well, we must come to the Beis Medrash together to see that we're a unit of Klal Yisrael talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu together. There's a beautiful piece, I read it last year in Yom Narayan for the guys in the Tish. It's worth reading every few days. That there's a Ramban. It's a very, very famous Ramban. Whenever they say there's the famous Ramban, which are they referring to? Which is the famous Ramban? Usually the one at the end of Parshas Bo. Or otherwise the one at the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim. Those are the two big famous Ramban. So the one at the end of Parashas Bo, that's where he really delineates what our mission is as Klal Yisrael. He delineates what the purpose of the mitzvahs are. A tremendous Ramban. Not only to be read on Parashas Bo, you can read it the whole year. And there's a few lines there which I love and I think of very often in during davening. Very often. And if I'm ever involved in a shul, B'nai Neder, never like somehow involved in a shul, I would like to get like a beautiful glass etched in square plaque that as you walk in the shul, these words that are on Ramban are there, that everyone who walks in the shul, I know what will happen, it'll just be there, people will walk right past it or hang their towel on it or something, but I would like it to be there, the prime place that you read those words as you walk into the shul. The Ramban says the entire purpose of the Jewish nation is that we will come to shul and as a unit, as a cloud, sing the praises of Hashem. That is our purpose. Read it. Read the words of the Ramban. Parshas Bo near the end. Not right at the end, but near the end. It's a very, very long piece, the last Ramban. The last Ramban, Parshas Bo. It's a beautiful piece. But when you come to shul and you think, it's not just like me trying to connect the davening, but I'm a chelek of Moshe Rabbeinu, Yoshua, the Zakenim, the Nevi'im, the Gaonim, the Tanaim, the Amoraim, the Rishonim, the Achronim, my grandfather, my father, and myself, together with all the people who are right now here in this room, and we together, united, are praising Hashem. And that's our mission as Am Yisrael. It's not just about me and Hashem and him. It's about Klal Yisrael fulfilling our mission of recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. It takes on a level which is indescribable. And then even if you personally aren't having that same level of kavana right now in this davening, although obviously you try to have your highest level, but it's not as crucial that you cancel out your own davening now. Because you're still chelek of Klal Yisrael davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu together. And you're still just the fact that you're there with a minion. When you're there just davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and even if you're in Bidud, you're not with a minion, but the fact that you're there together with around the world other people davening. There are people all throughout the world davening. Right now, you recognize you're praising Hashem. The Nefesh L'Chaim right. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made different time zones. So there'll be people praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu or learning Torah throughout the clock. Constantly it will be happening. We'll always be talking to Hashem and praising Hashem and learning Hashem Torah to keep the world going and fulfill our mission in that way. And then he concludes and he says, so what's yeshiva? What's the goal of yeshiva? What's the purpose of yeshiva? Havei Omer, it's possible to say, Shu makom hagidul lechevra ha'idiyalit biyoter. It's the feeding ground. It's the basis for the creation of the ideal tzibur, the ideal community, the ideal chabur, the ideal chevra. You should know that when you're coming to yeshiva, you have to recognize that it's your unique responsibility to be one of the builders of that chabur. Don't think that there's the yeshiva will do it for me. The chabura only comes from below. It only comes from the guys building it. It only comes from each individual deciding, I want to be part of this chabura. I often find it amazing how you have an individual who says, there's a need, I'm going to do something about it. There's a need, I'm going to create an institution. There's a need, I'm going to make a movement. There's a need, I'm going to make a fund. There's a need, I'm going to volunteer. It's not going to happen. You know, it's not going to happen if you don't become one of the members of the committee. If you don't stand up and take responsibility. This chabura that we're describing now is an ideal chabura, but it only will form if every individual will say, or at least the majority of individuals, that you have to be one of those, I'm taking responsibility for forming this group. A chabura l'shem shamayim. And therefore you should know that when you come into yeshiva, you have to be one of the bonei tzibur. People who do that when they're in yeshiva, they become community leaders later on as well, when they come to a shul. Maybe as the rabbinical side, or maybe as the layman side, it doesn't matter. But they say, when I was in yeshiva, I took responsibility for... Now, taking responsibility doesn't mean that you're in charge of the laundry. Awesome. You know, that's also part of it. But we're talking here more about the connections, the environment, the way of speech. That person who goes around and encourages other people. You could be that person. You could be... I don't care if you're Shana Gimel, Shana Aleph, or Shana Bet. It doesn't make a difference. I don't care if you've finished many mesechtas or this is the first mesechta you're ever learning. It doesn't make a difference your background, your status. It's irrelevant. You could be that person who will go around and give encouragement and say words of growth to other people. You could be that person who catches yourself about to say something which is going to make other people lose their enthusiasm and you pause. Because you don't want to be deflating the good vibes that are happening in your gym. You could be that person who sees someone else doing something valuable and you go and you point it out. And then it builds them so much they don't do it again. There was one someone in yeshiva, I was in Shana Bet, Aleph or Bet, who, you know those yellow sticky notes? Those square yellow sticky notes, what are they called?
Post-its.
So he used to, on Friday, he would write individual notes to, not everyone, but like a whole bunch of people. And then he would go to the siddur, and he would open up to Lechuna Ranana, and he would stick this personal note written uniquely to them in their siddur. That when they would get to Lechuna Ranana, they would open up, they would say, now everyone knew it was him, it wasn't like anonymous. I mean, it was anonymous, but everyone knew it was him. But do you know how it built people? Do you know how people felt so good about themselves being in yeshiva and then had encouragement to continue what they were doing? And you could find unique things. The one who would learn till late at night, he would say that. The one who would go to sleep early so that he was awake for shacharis, he would say that. He found what was unique about everyone. And he would write an individual note and he would say to them. It built people because not everyone hears that. And people try so hard in yeshiva and don't always get feedback. And you could be that person who goes around and creates a chabura l'shem shamayim, looking for the growth. And you could do that in any realm. But you're doing it in the realm of building Ovdei Hashem. You're doing it in the realm of Yirat Shamayim and of Talmud Torah. And you're not just building someone who feels good about emptiness. You could do it about nothing, you know? You could do it about someone and says, you have real style how your kippah matches your trousers because they're black and it's great. Then you could find empathy things as well, and you could, and that would be nice that someone noticed me. Baruch Hashem. But here we're talking about doing it in the world of Yirat Shamayim. Some things, obviously, a person wants to be more tzanua. You don't want to point out how I noticed that when you get to Hashiva Shafeini, you have more kavana in your brasa. You know, that's something personal. Let it be. You don't have to start like. But there are things which are like more public, and you can notice, and you'll build another person. A chabura l'shem shamayim. You are one of those builders. You have to ensure that you're one of those builders, because then it will transform the year in yeshiva, and that will form a basis for your own future life. You will become a community worker, not just on the sense of Baruch Hashem, you volunteer when there's a need, but you will have transformed lives of other people, and yeshiva will have that vibe of coming close to Hashem as a chabur, which you don't always get in the outside world. At tzibur she'ein kedugmato ba'olam, shleimus ha'midus, a group of people who it's encouraged to work on midus. Often when you go out to the outside world, it's not a comfortable conversation to have, where you discuss what midah you're working on, and where you're up to in the midah, and what kabbalah you've taken. It's not just something which people talk about. People are much more comfortable talking about the weather. Do you know today it rained in Yerushalayim? That will create much more interest than, so what midah are you working on now? Well, you know, I'm working on this midah, but I'm finding this particular point of challenge. Do you want to discuss it? Like, people feel uncomfortable with that. Well, maybe when your most Mashiach comes, there's much more of an openness, and the ego has been dropped, and everyone's coming towards growing close to Hashem, maybe that at that point will be a much more open topic. But right now, in yeshiva, it can be an open topic. I'm not saying you should stand up in the chadroch and say, I'm working on humility! Who wants to help me? Maybe that would be inappropriate. But you could find maybe two or three guys who you feel you could be open with about a particular topic. And you could, like, say, you know, do you want to form a chabura together? Do you want to work on tefillah together? Do you want to like sit and like have an open conversation about honestly? Do you have kavana and davening? Like not the imagination, but the real, like, really, like, do you have, and then have an open discussion about it. Not let's continue pretending that we all have kavana, but like, let's just be real and honest and open and authentic. Because you're only going to grow that way. You're only going to grow. Okay, it means for a minute you have to put the facade down, but then you can build the true connection with Hashem and davening. It's a form of chabura like that. Form three, four people who discuss that point together. Maybe you have a close friend who you want to speak about your midas with, and you could all talk about different midas. You could take turns. A month work on this midah, a month work on that midah. But you could form a chabur and a shem shemayim where you could truly, honestly grow, authentically grow. Achdus ha-shifa, where you all have united goals. Shituf pula, where you're working together for avodat Hashem. This dveikus with friends is so wholesome and so complete that it can last you many years after you leave yeshiva. I'll tell you about myself personally. I have two friends that I formed in yeshiva and one that I formed after yeshiva, who, when I have an Avodas Hashem type of question or an inspiring point that I learned or thought in Avodas Hashem, I have, there's one guy, my year, who lives in the town Ariel. There's one person who's my year, or the year above me, who lives in the town Petach Tikva. And there's one close friend who I formed after yeshiva, who in the last 5 years has lived in five different towns. No. In the last 10 years I lived in five different towns. He's always moving around. He's a rabbi of the community, but for some reason his community seems to dissipate. And like, and he has to keep moving, or for financial reasons, or because of bombs that are falling in different areas, and his wife is scared. For all different reasons that happen, but he's always moving around. But I have a group of, I mean, no, they don't have each other. It's not like a group of four of them. I have this friend, and I have this friend, and I have this friend. They're all separate. They're two know each other, the other ones know each other. But there are people who I have, two of whom I formed in yeshiva, who till this day, when I have a Avodat Hashem growth oriented point I want to discuss, and if I can't find someone who I feel like I wish to discuss it with them, where I'm holding, I have people I can phone. Or I can openly discuss where I'm holding and have discussions, and get honest feedback from someone who I feel we're on the same page, totally on the same page when it comes to this. And one of them is a Rosh Kollel, but one of them works in high tech. Maybe they're not necessarily in the world of Rabbonis per se. Can you get what you do? One in Ariel is in high tech. One in Petach Tikva is a Rosh Kollel. Doesn't matter. But they're all in Avodas Hashem. The one in high tech phones me to discuss this issue. He was reading this line. He had a question that he wanted to discuss it with me. A chabur l'shem shemayim. Yuchzak ma'amad gam. Even many years after yeshiva, the connections that you're forming now in a word of Hashem could last you throughout your life, even across oceans. Because when you're, like we discussed yesterday, when your common ground, your overlap, your basis is Torah, then that rides above any other difference. It rides above which country you live in, it rides above to some degree which profession or which language you speak. You're both into Avodah Hashem. And no matter where you are, which state you are in life, you can always discuss that. But when Meshach Kol HaChayim Yecholot Mekor Le'idud Bechit Chazkut, and that could be a source for encouragement and strength throughout your lives. So we've concluded the topic of Chevra, but really we haven't. We've just given an invitation. I would like everyone here to take this point to heart and think of one other person in the yeshiva that either they wish to give chizek to, or encouragement to over the next day, in the area of Avodas Hashem. This is homework that I'm giving. Musar is work, yeah? It's not just about sitting back and listening. I can't bother to recite myself. I'll just go and sit back in a comfortable chair outside and hear someone else talk. No. It's work. You have to work here. So either, and this is one of the easier ones, and you know, someone who's real superstar can do both. But one of the easier ones, that the minimum of taking away from this talk, is that you think of someone that you wish to give a word of encouragement, meaning pay attention and notice something that someone else is doing in Avodas Hashem, which is public. Not something which is their private thing, but something which is public that you want to point out and just give them a word of encouragement in that area. That you just point that out. Just point out and say, I noticed that you do this, and that gave me inspiration, or just shkoya. Whatever it is you want to say, there's a word of encouragement. That's one area. Do definitely do that. And as well as that, if you want to be a superstar, then find a friend, or even two friends, that you'll have a chabur of three together, that you want to choose a topic that you want to just have open discussions, not necessarily with the savior. Just have open discussions with about Avodas Hashem. Could be about a midah, could be about Talmud Torah, could be about tefillah, could be about an emotion, whatever it is. But something you want to have an open, just like all the facade drops, all the ego drops, you just have an open conversation, and that's where you're going to really, truly build your Avodas Hashem.